I like seeing people eating ice creams, even like it's breakfast time, they're still eating ice cream. Walking past the window and they're concentrating on that ice cream like it's taking them somewhere else.
This is The Producers. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Coming from a sixth-generation farming family and after a career as a journalist, Sandra McEwig yearned to be on the land again. She found wonderment in the small town of Badalla, a town once famous for its cheese, and set about celebrating the region by producing award-winning cheese and ice cream.
We're on at Badalla, which is 4.5 hours south from Sydney, and very near Naruma. It's a very pastoral area, and it's always been had great rainfall, and there's lots of dairies, and it's a very rich agricultural area. Lovely, beautiful beaches. And we've been there, we've had a farm there for 30 years. And we don't get tired of it. I was brought up in the country around Griffith, and very different look, flat land. And but we went down there, and the area is undulating, and there's got beautiful beaches, and we saw this really pretty property. It was a dairy farm, and we bought it. It was just one of those spontaneous things. Not a lot of thinking and planning went into that, because we aren't dairy farmers, and the exchange day was a bit scary because the people who were milking the cows moved out at 10 o'clock after first milking, and the next ones had to come in and be on deck and efficient by the next time the cows lined up. There's no chance to be slack on that one. And it ran as a dairy farm for quite a while, but the dairy industry is a little bit unpredictable in Australia. And we never milked the cows as such, or we always had somebody leasing it and doing that work. But we became interested in the dairy industry, and Badalla was famous. It was a household name for cheese for many years because back in the 1860s it was settled as a dairy area by a guy called Thomas Mort. And he made the first cheddar cheese in Australia commercially, and it was sent to England. So people all knew about Badalla cheese mainly as a cheddar. And when we went there in 1989, there were no more cheese factories. About 13 dairy farms, but the five cheese factories that had once been there had died and just gone out of business for one reason or another. And it seemed to be such a pity. We had deregulation, the guaranteed quota price went out of the bottom of the milk, and mostly family farmers there. And then we realised that unless you were milking big lots, you couldn't really stay in business in the dairy industry. And so it's now cut down to about probably 7 or 8 dairy farms in that little Badalla area. And we get our milk for the for our factory and processing unit from one of the bigger dairies, where the milk quality is fabulous, and we process it to make a variety of dairy products. I never use the word manufacturing business, because it's not us that makes the milk. And that is what it's all about. You know, you've got good milk, beautiful milk from grass-fed cows. You've got what you need to make good product if you handle it and properly. Yes. So we've had a challenging time setting that up, because I knew nothing about the dairying, and we knew nothing about processing milk. I'd been a journalist. But I thought we'd set it up, bring that business and cheese making back to the area, and then someone would take it on, but they never did. You're still there churning it away, but it's now very rewarding, and I'm very, very involved with it, and I work in it probably 6 days a week, and we make a variety of products, and it's a new life for us.
Knowing the rich history of the region, Sandra felt inspired to bring a small country town milk bar to life and dabble in the art of cheese making.
I thought it was a pity that all our beautiful milk was going out to processors in Sydney, big trucks picking it up every morning or going down to Bega. They went either left or right. But it was sad because people were coming into the area and going, oh, this is Bedalla. I know Bedalla. We used to have Bedalla cheese, you know, and there was no milk products or nothing representative of what all these hardworking people were doing in the area, because it is a working village, lovely historic working village. But, you know, people going to go to the bakery still wearing their gumboots, and that's how people walk around and even go to the pub like that. But we weren't making anything to show off what we were doing. So I'd always had a bit of a nostalgia for milk bars, the old fashioned milk bars. So the news agent and motel came up for sale and was for sale for a while, and then we said, well, let's bought a milk bar there, and just bought a small cheese factory, and it is small by standards. And we'll start making cheese again. Someone will hop on the opportunity. Well, that's what we did. We built the cheese factory in 2011. That was a learning curve, just working out what machinery was required and actually what you wanted to achieve. So I've decided just to do it, keep it back to the old-fashioned things, just don't complicate too much. And we do batch pasteurizing, which means that we do 1,000 litres in a batch at a time, that takes an hour. But we don't homogenise and we don't overheat it. We just do it slowly. And I think there's only one other person in Australia still doing it that way. Most people do it through hot lines and then cold lines, pipes, and they can do up 20,000 an hour litres. And we do 1,000. But anyway, that's the way it is. But I feel it keeps the molecular structure of the milk. It's not torn apart. And often people say, I can drink your milk, but I'm usually lactose intolerant. Well, I think it's because it's not wrecked. It's as natural as it can be. It's like it's like eating a raw carrot rather than the juice. So with that, of course, I've been able to make nice product. We've won gold a couple of times for the milk at the Royal Easter Show, so it is recognised as being very natural, and because we've got a good dairy, we get a consistent fat level, and that's important with when you're selling unhomogenised milk. Otherwise, people ring you up and say, I used to get 2 centimetres of cream and now I've only got one. So then we've decided that I've always wanted to have ice cream, because the more products you can make from milk, the more you can add value to it, because this is it's a very competitive market, milk, as you can see. The $1 milk has made it extremely difficult to encourage people to pay $5 for 2 litre, and they can get it for $3, and that will remain because the big fellas are now going to have $1 milk on forever. So you've got to do other products which add value, which maybe more complicated to make and have a smaller market to challenge you. So we went into ice cream making, which is what I love doing now, and I do it all day, 6 days a week.
Diving headfirst into the world of cheese proposed many challenges, but some incredible rewards too.
Greater memory of the first failures. They're the ones that really hit you. Oh, why does it look like that? And nothing in the books will tell you what you did wrong. But I did go to a few courses, and I did learn to be fairly very disciplined with this, because if you the way you handle the milk in with your timing and the amount of culture and everything has to be very precise for you to get a predictable amount and predictable quality. So we had quite a few duds, and then we've worked out what we like doing, which is adding native plants to cheese and flavouring things with the wonderful variety of native plants and seeds that we've got. So that's really our point of difference in the market. And we now have been, we're now sort of selling our cheese in pallets, really, to Coles and Woolies and Harris Farm Markets. So that's what's, it's very good cheddar we're making. We're very consistent with that. So that's where we've found our niche there in that.
With access to such extraordinary milk, it made sense to diversify and explore the art of great ice cream.
Well, ice cream, everyone said, you won't have to do ice cream. It's, you've got to buy too much equipment. Oh, no, you can't. Oh. And they were right about that, because you need to have a range of equipment so that the product moves quickly through its phases and it's very quickly into minus 30 degrees. Then you don't have any icicles. So we had the lovely quality. We had all the ingredients, and also we had this interest in trying to include, make things with native plants, flavor with things with plants and seeds. So that was... something that I was going to experiment with. But anyway, then we saw on Gumtree an ad which said a full range of cappuccino machinery for sale in Sydney. And I came down to see it. It was two young fellows who'd set up in Smithfield, and they'd come out and they'd studied at the Cappuccino University, which is probably the pinnacle of ice cream learning, and they were stuck in a very awkward position in Smithfield, and they said, our parents, they're young guys, and our parents have said, don't fail longer, fail fast and get out. Come back to Italy. Nonna's sick. You know, they always have a sick nonna. So they said, we want to sell the whole lot. So Jane and I went back to the car and sat there and thought, oh, it's a lot of money. That's still a lot of money, but I mean, it's really half price. And we went back and said, well, the best thing about that deal is them. So we went back in and said, look, we'll buy it if you come with it. So they were out all the way to Badalla. So they came and stayed in Badalla for 8 months. And they set that machinery up for us, and they made the recipes with us. And now we can work out the balance that we need in sugars and fats and so on with a new product, because we've got it all on computer. So we were terribly grateful for them for that. And so we make it in a very old-fashioned way, from scratch, no packet stuff. Everything's measured out in grams. And as long as you're very precise with the base, you can then fiddle with the flavours. And we've loved it. We've won gold with it in Sydney last year, and then we've started the shop in Sydney, in Woollahra, in April this year, just before COVID. Clever planning. And... but it turned out to be for the better, because people wanted takeaway, and we just made more takeaway tubs, and we were in an area where we had a little strip of shops where everybody went to do their takeaway shopping. So it was good, and people have enjoyed it. And I come down to Sydney with my husband every about 2 weeks with a load of ice cream. We've got a truck which is now a freezer, and we replenish her fridges and go back to Badalla and work again.
The popularity of gelato has skyrocketed in the last decade, but Sandra saw the opportunity to raise the bar for ice cream and celebrate native ingredients too.
We wanted that really creamy product. I wanted a product that I made. It lasts longer too. The ice cream, you get a year's life out of it. I wanted to use the old Italian ways of storing ice cream, which is in it's in pozzettis, which have little, they look like saucepan lids all the way along. So we've got a bank of those with 22 flavors in them. and just the names on the boards. Unlike the people say that won't work for you because everyone likes to come in, they see the color and they like to pick something from these mounds of tempting colors. Anyway, that wasn't obviously going to be the way. That is, some people call them graveyards, those ice creams, because the light and the air means the product starts deteriorating. It needs to be kept at a very even temperature, which it does in the cylinders in these, the way we keep it. We don't have to take it out at night, and we can make a denser, richer product, and which is what we do with a lot of cream and a lot of milk. That's what it really amounts to. And it's nostalgia too, because ice cream is a thing where it creates memories and it also brings back memories. And my first ice creams were, we used to come in from the country and my parents used to say, now if you lot don't squabble in the back, you can get a treat at the milk bar. So we would sit on our hands all the way in. And then we could go to this old-fashioned milk bar where she used to lift up the lids and use the dipper, and it was all lovely theatre. So I had a hankering after that, but it was very solid ice cream. So I'd never thought of making gelato. Yeah.
In many ways, we are all at the start of our journey exploring the array of native ingredients in Australia. And Sandra believes their unique properties are ideal for ice cream.
One of the ones which we've done, you know, well and it's enjoyed is Kakadu plum and rum. Most of the seeds of native plants, of which there are plenty to experiment with, are bitter, very bitter. But very high in vitamin C. They're all very good for you, but it takes there are some that go with ice cream and some which you just can't win with. Lemon myrtle is one that people are really now knowing is sweet and aromatic, and they accept that. Other ones they taste and they say, oh, that's really interesting, but I have a chocolate. But they're getting around to them, and I just like experimenting with them, and people are beginning to take a great interest in them. And unfortunately, the native plants haven't been recognised as much as they should have been, and you can't really buy them in supermarkets. So you tell people to try and experiment with this, or this would be a lovely thing for you to try, and have some saltbush. Maybe saltbush is really fantastic underneath your roasts, etc. But nobody can buy it. But they do come back for them. They come back and say, "Well, I think I'll try that one that the pepperberry chocolate, instead of just having a chili chocolate with a pepperberry, which is completely different." Anyway, I think it's important that people do understand better what unique things we have in Australia. There are about 7,000 plants that you can have a go at that are all edible.
The success of Bedalla ice cream has led to expansion in Sydney, and it's fast become one of the busiest ice creameries in the country.
The shop in Willara is cute and small, but it does reflect, it does have very much a country feel. I mean, Jane's done clever things and put up a sign saying, if you've been to the South Coast or to Yorubadala, please put up a photograph of your holiday there and you get a free ice cream. Oh, there's a wall through full of happy faces. And now the locals say, "Well, can you take my eggs? Can you take my eggs up?" Well, one lady has beautiful eggs. And she puts a feather in the box with the, and people go, "Have you got the eggs with the feathers in them?" And as soon as they come, they just go straight out the door. Jane said, "I could put a little sign on the road, on the street, saying the eggs back," but. And other people want, you know, give me jams and things like that they might take. But mainly it's just the ice cream. The ice cream is what it's all about. You know, happy little faces. They line up after school. And Jane makes a lot of birthday cakes. Oh, my goodness. Well, that's something we haven't got into on the South Coast, but they're quite a procedure, but they're a work of art when they're finished. And of course, they go out and they're enjoyed by 40 children. And then 40 more mothers come in and say, my Freddie's birthday is next week and he'd like this, that, and the other.
But Dulla Dairy has had an incredible impact on Sandra. Not just life on the farm, but the chance to ignite her creativity and bring great memories to people every day too.
Oh, I'm proud of seeing a lot of lovely people employed. Just in the background there. I like seeing that happening. I like seeing people eating ice creams, even like it's breakfast time, they're still eating ice cream. Walking past the window and they concentrating on that ice cream like it's taking them somewhere else. And I think that's, well, I'm doing, we're doing something that's all ages are happy doing together. You find grannies there, they're all doing it together because it's something that is sort of a little bit of a reward, you know, a reward. You can't justify it, but it's a reward. I like it being creative. I have the freedom to make anything I like and to make it, and to expand in any way in any line that we thought would be there. If there's an opportunity, you can definitely look at it with a positive frame of mind and say, would that work? Wow, let's try it. So that's a great freedom to have, and I enjoy that. And as a family business, it's great to be able to do something together and to love the people you do it with. I taste every batch two or three times. It's not good for the waistline, but if it's right, if you get that right, you know, just the right richness in it, or it's good. I feel good. I say, and the girls are putting the machines. I say, what was that like? What do you like about that? Is that good? Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. So, the day goes quickly. We strive hard to keep that quality. That's what it's all about. Just don't ever cut corners, and just stay small and do it properly. So we'll see where it goes from here.
Food has a wonderful way of connecting people and sharing the story of a region. Sandra's commitment from cow to ice cream in the small town of Badalla has captured the very heart of time and place. This is The Producers, a Deep in the Weeds production. I'm Anthony Huckstep. Stay tuned as we share the stories of producers, farmers, makers, and growers, the true lifeblood of the food industry. Follow us on Instagram at Producers Podcast or email us at producerspodcast@deepintheweeds.com.au.